Tried some orange pudding yesterday. Orange pudding? Yeah, it was in a. I'd never seen that before. I've seen pistachio pudding. That's weird. But orange flavored pudding, you don't see that a lot, and I don't know why. Ew. Ugh. Orange flavored pudding?
The following is a complete list of all the things Ron Van Dam does not have something against or will not complain about here on the Ron Van Dam Show. Pudding. Yep, that's just about it. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Thank you. Hey, happy Monday to you. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I can prove it. This is me. Here I am. You're listening to it. There you go. All righty now. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the virus thing. Don't worry about it. I know you're sick of it. I mean, sick of hearing about it. It's like... They say, you know, don't get nervous about it, don't go crazy, don't be anxious about it, but listen to it 24 hours a day. Let's pound it into your head. Life goes on, you got to be careful, but you also got to not have anxiety. So that's why I'm here, I think. I'll do this really, really quick. Social distancing, very, very important. School closings, I'm not too sure about that, but okay, fine. Just stay away from other people. Stay 3-6 feet away from everybody else who you don't know. I think that's like perfectly normal for me in my life. Should be for you too. Consider it a vacation from having to put up with the bullshit of other people talking at you all the time. All right, that's a vacation, okay? So... take a walk in the park, take a walk around the block. If a neighbor comes up to you, keep your distance. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's no movies to go to. You shouldn't go to movie theaters, really. I mean, you shouldn't go to bars, restaurants. I don't know. I mean, that's a good idea. I mean, I'm sure. So there's nothing to do but walk around the block and go shopping, even though there's nothing in the stores. But that'll resolve itself really quickly. Stores are doing the economy in supermarkets. Really good. Don't worry about it. The economy there is fine. Anyway, supplies will be normalized rather soon. I think everything's going. Just be damn careful, and you know, that's about it. Here's the funny thing, here's the funny thing. You're in the same boat that I'm in. There's just nothing to do. There's just let's face it, freaking bored. There's just nothing to do. Even if you like sports, I don't know why you would, but even if you like sports. There's no sports. There's nothing to watch. They're airing games from 2015. I guess I forgot what happened back then, but I'm not that excited about watching old sports games. I'm not that excited about watching new sports games. You can't go to casinos. You can't go anywhere. There's really virtually nothing. So it's how do you occupy your time? Well, here's what I found is really, really good. Consider this to be forced time to get shit done. Excuse my language. I said done. You spend most of your life saying, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that thing in the house. I'm going to do some painting. I've got to repair this stuff. I've got to go through my paperwork. I've got to organize my stuff. I've got stuff all over the place. I need to put it away. I need to organize. I need to clean out my closet. I need to clean out. I mean, there's tons of things that you can do in your apartment or your house that you've been putting off for at least a decade. This is the time to do it. But here's my problem. I am such a lazy bastard. I'd rather sit around with my thumb up my ass than do anything. yet here's everything in front of me that can be done. You see, I'm not missing anything. I'm not missing going out and doing that thing. I'm not missing a party. I'm not missing going to see my friends, theoretically. I'm not missing anything. So the perfect excuse is get things done in the place that you live. Do some decorating. You can go to a store and buy a plant. That's okay. That's safe. You know, you're not touching people when you buy a plant. Diseases aren't transmitted through plants, nor animals, by the way, just for your information. So do stuff in the place that you live. You know, freshen it up. Do something. Clean it up. Organize it. But me, too lazy. I'm just too lazy. It's forced time by yourself with your loved one. And I use that term so freaking loosely, it's not funny. I think if you live with somebody, if you live alone, you can control exactly what you do, when you do it, what you want to do, you're fine. If you live with somebody else, it's not that easy. You both have to be on the same page right now. And being on the same page as your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, family members, there's too many pages in that book. And that's where you got to be really careful. Don't create tension in your home. Just back off. Just like swallow your pride and say, all right, this is not forever, so I can get through this. I say to myself, I can get through it. It's not so much the virus thing. It's getting through being around your family members so much. That's not easy. It was great when you can go out into society and get away from everything anytime you wanted to. Now you're kind of stuck. So your relationships, just don't create trouble. Don't get cranky. Don't create waves and you'll be fine. This is the perfect time to relax. But Ron, I'm not making any money. I'm losing my job. Chill out, man. Just chill out, man. There's nothing you can do about it. If everybody chills, this won't be for very long. I said I wouldn't talk about it, and I stuck to it. I didn't talk about it. Here, yes, you did, Ron. Yes, you did. All right, fine, I did. Okay. All right, I'm just trying to weed through this thing on our level, you know. Here's what did piss me off, though, and then I'll move on. I'll move on to something frivolous, I guarantee you. Because what is life but frivolous? I'll move on. President Trump, and I use that term so loosely, it's not funny, has now put a travel ban on the United Kingdom and Ireland. All the other countries he already did, those he didn't. Now he does. So all U.S. citizens can come back to this country. You have until Monday to get the fuck out. You can come back to our country here, but you have to be tested before you come through the country. So there are just a few number of airports that will take your incoming flights from Europe, including England and including Ireland. And you come back, American citizen. You can't just walk through the gate and pick up your luggage and go home. You have to be tested, certainly for your temperature and whether you're sick or not. And you have to go through customs. You always have to go through customs, my God. So here's what nobody thought about, and here's what's disgusting about it. And this is very concerning, and this just tells you how the Trump administration doesn't think things through at all, just like you. The lines to get past security and testing when you get back from Europe, American citizens, the lines are like around the building. And they are thousands of people all bunched together in a long, thick line with no control whatsoever. So we talk about in this country social distancing. In the airports, you have the largest conglomerate of over 1,000 people ever in the world, all huddled together, all coughing on each other, all breathing on each other, touching shoulders, conversing. It takes them hours in that condition to get through this bunch of lines. That's exactly the opposite of what you wanted to do. Now you've got people coming into this country, American citizens, who have been exposed to each other hundredfold. Out of all of them, there's got to be a few that have the virus. You've just spread it to another couple of thousand people in an airport. How stupid can the government be? Social distancing is very important. Stay at least 6 feet away from everybody when you're having conversation. Unless you're coming back from Europe, there you can be like 5,000 people all huddled together, body to body. That's fine. What are you talking about, man? Then you're going to release them into the public. They may have no temperature right now, but in maybe a couple of days they will. It's the stupidest thing I've ever. Just a picture of these thousands of people all huddled together online is just so absurd. All right, I just thought I'd point that out. I like to point out when governments act stupid, and there you have a perfect example of that. Didn't think that one through.
Let me tell you something about Ron Van Dam. He is not afraid to voice a controversial opinion now and then.
If you're eating 4 donuts for breakfast, you're probably eating a dozen donuts for lunch.
Whoa, slow it down, Radio Rebel. Don't burn it out all at once. You wild man. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
All right. It seriously is a good time to take care of your home as long as you're, certainly in it a lot more right now. Or apartment, whatever the case may be. I don't care if you rent or own. It makes no difference. Clean out your life, take this time to do that. That's my advice to you. Do you ever listen to me? God, no. Who does? God, no. My family, it's like I don't even exist. It's like I'm a ghost. I say something, and they don't even turn around to look at me. They just keep doing what they're doing. It's like, wow, it's so insulting, but I'm used to that. Don't you get that, too? You talk to people, and all of a sudden, they'll look up at you, and they'll say, what? I'm sorry, what'd you say? Oh, my God, I just poured my heart and soul out to you. I'm sorry. What'd you say? And then you repeat it, and they don't even listen to you. It's so common. I know it happens to you because I don't listen to you either. I have a great guest coming up a little bit later in the program today. And, there you have it. Okay, now let's get frivolous. Let's get frivolous. I want to get frivolous. Let me hear you. Let me talk. I don't know the words. I don't know the words to any songs. I'm serious, man. I did a show on this like maybe a year ago, so I'm not going to do it again, where I got the lyrics of songs all wrong because when you listen to songs, very infrequently does the singer enunciate their words. I'm gonna hurt a lot now, and I'm gonna try to my life, to better myself. I got a magala line. I don't know what the hell you said. Nice melody, but I don't know what you said. And even if you have a close-up of the person's lips moving, you still don't know what they're talking about. So lyrics to me are nothing. There are some songs where the lyrics are incredibly interesting and thought-provoking, but very few. Usually, I don't understand what they're saying. There is a bathroom on the right. Creedence Clearwater Revival, I believe, is that it? I don't know who that was. There's a bathroom on the right. No, there's a bad moon out tonight. I don't even know what it is, really. But I misunderstand them completely. So when someone, I met a guy once, just once, and he was a lyricist. He wrote lyrics. And I said, oh, you write songs? Well, yes, I do. What do you do? I write the words. Oh, okay. Wasn't that a like song? I write the songs that make the whole. Yeah, but you write the lyrics. I don't know. I don't think that's really that good. If you give me a nice tune, I think I could write lyrics to it. I mean, I don't think you have to be an Einstein to do that. That's just a poet with somebody else's vehicle. And I'm not impressed. What do you do for a living? I'm a lyricist. Oh, you might as well just be a philosophy major. A lyricist? What the hell? Do you realize all the work you do, no one understands it in the song? Do you realize that? Do you realize you're doing all that for freaking nothing? Well, I got paid well for it. Well, I don't know why, because no one understands what the hell you did. You wasted your time putting thought into scenarios, into the music, when the end result is, I'm going to ride my life. I'm going to sit my time. I'm going to live my pops. I'm going to frick my line. I don't know what you said. I love the song. I'll listen to it 1,000 times for two reasons. One, because I enjoy the melody. Number two, I'm trying to figure out the lyrics, but I just never can. Isn't it funny that when you do figure out the lyrics to a song, you realize that was worth nothing. The lyrics are stupid. I spent all this time trying to understand them. Now that I do, I get nothing out of it. No, my life has not changed. You didn't make any good points. I didn't even understand what the hell you're talking about. Lyricists are also very cocky about it. Yes, I write songs. I write very poignant feelings. I put them in the songs, and they're very poignant. They're very thought-provoking. No, they're not. They're a mystery. I don't know what you said. Wouldn't it funny? It'd be funny if lyricists, when you talk to them, also made no sense. Like, hey, Bob, I understand that you're a lyricist and you write the words for songs. Is that true? Well, I just said, well, I love what you do. Here's what I do. I assemble it down and I bleed it flat down. I love the dips and I love the boom. I take my time and all the time, and my love is time, and the time is my night. That would be interesting. Literally. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you're really fantastic. You know what I do when I'm bored? I change out the placemats.
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karanapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one-stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV, I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make your placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Thank you. Thank you, George K. You know what I did yesterday? I'm gonna disgust you. I cleaned my bathroom. Oh, yeah. I don't always sit around with my thumb up my ass. Sometimes I'll use my thumb to clean things. I cleaned my bathroom. I looked at the bathtub, and it was disgusting. I don't know who has been making that bathtub so filthy dirty, and then I realized it's me. So I got myself some mild cleanser. Sometimes the cleansers can overtake you. So I got some mild stuff, and I scrubbed the tub. I scrub-a-dub-dub that tub and the walls around it. And my God, it smelled wonderful. It's clean and sparkly. And I stood there for at least 3 hours and just stared at the tub. A, because I had the time to do that, and B, because I was so proud of my work. And then I said to myself, tomorrow, which is today, I'm going to tackle the toilet. Ooh, the toilet. That's a rough one. That's a rough one. It's one thing to clean the tub where you have your dead skin and your dirt and that kind of thing. You know, that's horrible within itself. But to actually clean the toilet, I mean, we're going into a world of absolute disgust. There's nothing more disgusting than a toilet. There really isn't. I mean, you can't imagine how disgusting a toilet is.
It was unbelievably painful.
That's where that happens. So today I'm going to tackle that. I've got the proper cleaning utensils, and I've got rubber gloves. I may use that for something else a little bit later. And I'm going to scrub that baby down. I'm going to scrub that. Because how often do you clean your toilet? Seriously, I know on television you see it all the time. And you see people like using this miracle stuff to clean toilet. How often do you actually clean your toilet? Well, you may like clean the bowl every once in a while. And just dropping that blue toilet stuff in it, that really doesn't help all that much. It just makes it pretty, like your toilet is a part of the ocean. But to really get down on your hands and knees and scrub the base and under the lid and all that, it's just, it's satisfying. It's just, I'm telling you, it is so cleansing and satisfying. I did something yesterday as well that I'd never done before. I never would have thought of doing it. I have banisters. I have two floors in my house. I mean, you know, first floor, second floor. And there's a banister going up and down the stairs. If there's a banister going up the stairs, it's the same banister going down the stairs. There's no way of avoiding that. So what did I do? I took some cleaner, and I put it on a rag, a paper towel, I believe it was, and I cleaned the banister. And, oh my God, my life changed. It was like finding Jesus. Same feeling. I would assume it's the same feeling. A clean banister. The smallest things make the biggest difference I have found in my life. The big things in my life, in the long run, so what? But the small things, when you add them up, became a big thing. It's fantastic. Big events in my life, they come and go.
Whatever.
Little ones, those I accomplished, and I didn't even realize it. And when I did them, I felt so much better. Here's, about a month ago, man, there was a chair in my living room. And I never liked it in that position. So I moved the chair to a corner of the living room, which there was never furniture in that corner before. It just sat there lonely. And I put the chair in there, and I moved the chair. It was like I had a brand new living room. Just moving the chair. The smallest little effort on my part, which is my trademark. And that made such a big difference. Now when I sit in that living room and I watch TV, I feel like I'm in a different place. Ron, did you move into a different... No, I just moved the chair. I just moved the chair from here to there. Oh my God, you did. It's made such a change in your entire life. I know. Now, I don't have to take medications anymore. I'm good. I'm wonderful. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the smallest little things mean the most.
Whatever.
Hey, Chris, hey, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Chris has got a great publication out called I Am Just No Good at Rhyming and Other Nonsense for Mischievous Kids and Immature Grown-Ups, which is kind of everybody now that you've been grouped into this. where did you get the idea to do this?
Well, you know, I've been a TV writer for close to 20 years now, mm-hmm. and I never really thought about writing for kids until I had kids of my own. And I think there's just something about, like, I don't know if it was a little bit of me saying, oh yeah, like seeing what my kids were going through and wanting to share with them the things that made me laugh and the things that made me think a little bit, and probably just also a little bit of trying to impress them. there's been no shortage of people in TV though who've said that my writing's a little immature.
Well, so, you've written for some. You're quite prestigious. You're a writer and executive producer for How I Met Your Mother, and writer for The Late Show with David Letterman, which is classic. Your pieces have appeared everywhere, but I'm interested how you got into the poetry aspect of it.
It's funny. I started out, like I said, I wanted to do something for my kids. I started out, I'll write a novel. But one of them wasn't sleeping through the night. And so I really just couldn't keep anything in my head. Yeah. And so I turned to short form poetry sort of out of necessity. But really, I've actually enjoyed it. I think my kids and now I've seen other kids really get a kick out of the rhythm and the structure, and it's been a lot of fun.
Wow. Are you still doing the TV writing?
I am. I ran a show last year that didn't come back. It's called The Great Indoors, and now I'm developing new series right now. But right now, I get to talk about my book, which is the best because I'd rather talk about writing than write.
Well, that makes no sense. I'd rather talk about than write. That's interesting. I'd rather write about talking than talk. So,
I'd rather talk about something I've already done than actually do it.
is there humor in the book? Were you able to take your humor and put that aside, or is it injected?
Oh, it is. It is everywhere. Yeah. It's filled with it, and you know, from the title poem, I'm just no good at rhyming, and you know, it makes me feel so bad. I'm just no good at rhyming, and that's why I'm so blue. You know, this was me sharing, like, here are things that made me laugh with my own kids, and here are things that we've all laughed at together, and some of them are based on real life events, and some of them are just silly things.
Matter of fact, it's hit the New York Times bestseller list already.
Yeah, it's I'm my own worst critic. I some people don't take criticism well. I don't take compliments well. I'm mostly I'll be the first person to say, "Oh no, this part could have been better. This rhyme isn't." But so it's been a real delight and a challenge for me to see how much people have responded to it and enjoyed it.
That's the television writer in you. It's written.
Oh my gosh.
It's written, but we have to change it. But now we have to change it. And now we have to change it.
You know it well, yeah. But no, I love the response, and you know, it's on a lot of best of the year lists, and yeah, the negative voices in my head are on the run, which is great. I'm sure they'll regroup and come back soon.
I'm sure they will. So at times you actually take established poems and you kind of throw them around a little bit and change them up.
Just a few most of the poems are straight up for the kids, but there are a few winks for the adults there. There's one called Two Roads, and the entire poem goes, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by.
Yeah.
Since then, I've been completely lost. Thanks for nothing, Robert Frost.
Yes.
And that's not as good as the original, but it might be more accurate in terms of at least what I've experienced. There's a little something for all ages in there. You know, the books I grew up with were ones that I remember I'd come back to a year later and find something totally new.
Yeah.
And I hope this book can be that kind of thing for kids.
You kind of remind me, in a way, and this is going to sound weird, of Soupy Sales, in the sense that he was promoted as a children's show, but adults were just as much into it.
I love that. I've gotten Shel Silverstein, I've gotten Ogden Nash. This is the first Soupy Sales that I've gotten, but I love that.
I think if Soupy were around, he'd be happy to hear that he was grouped into that. So it's available everywhere, I assume.
It is available everywhere, online, your local bookstore. We've had, you know, for kids or grandkids, have definitely had the things that make me happy, or someone, you know, a friend telling me, oh, this was a reluctant reader, and then just started tearing through the book. And, you know, this is all, like I said, these are all inspired by things I loved. Shel Silverstein growing up, and Monty Python later on in life. And,
yeah, there you go.
And there are things that made me sit up and laugh and then wonder what I can do. And I hope kids do the same thing with this book. And they sit up and they laugh and they wonder what they can do.
You know, it's interesting. We got the promotional copy here, and it looks like a children's book. It takes on the actual guise of a children's book. And I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just saying it fits right into it.
Yeah, exactly. But you're right that there is, you know, hopefully some of those immature grown-ups that they mention on the title will also flip through it.
Well, I'm sure you'll bring them in. Yes, I have no doubt. Everybody has a website these days. Is there a place we can visit to see what's going on?
You know, Ron, I'm an old man.
Oh, come on now. Will you stop it?
I'm so behind the times.
Oh, my God.
Just, I only just got out of my AOL account. So, I'm at just Chris Harris on Twitter and once I figure out what my password is, I'll do some things. Then, absolutely get it online or go to your bookstore I hope people check it out as a possible gift.
He can write books, write television shows, but he can't write a website. I don't know. Can't figure that out.
Yeah. TV and books, isn't that enough, Ron?
It's never enough.
Internet too.
It's never enough. How the hell did you get out of AOL? I have not been successful in getting out of it because I'm scared that when I do, no one will be able to contact me ever again. How did you do that?
It took me about 6 hours one night to set up another email account. And then I just have it open. I didn't close it out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But every time I get one, I say, hey, I've got, it's 15 years too late, I've got a new email. God. Now that I'm on Gmail, I figure now everyone is probably moving on to something else.
Yeah.
You're
still good with the Gmail, I think.
All right.
Okay.
For at least another 2 months.
The book is called I'm Just No Good at Rhyming and Other Nonsense for Mischievous Kids and Immature Grown-Ups, and it's a great book. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, Ron. I had a great time.
Great.
I'm gonna work on that website.
Please. Chris Harris, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Yeah, that'll be fun. Will you join me for that? No, why not? Well, are you going to be busy? I don't think so. You have no excuse not to listen to this show every day. You have no excuse. So stop it. Just stop it now. I wish you peace.